Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening and turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 5. And as I told you, as I read through the book of Jeremiah in my daily devotional readings, there were several things that jumped off the page at me. And we're just going to try and preach through the majority of Jeremiah. Maybe we'll get all the way to the end, I don't know. But it's just amazing to see how God is dealing with His people. Let me give you a little insight into what I've been reading in the book of Ezekiel. As I've been reading through the book of Ezekiel, it amazes me the times that the Lord says, I'm doing this, that they'll know that I'm the Lord. And so that's really the key to what I've been reading in the book of Ezekiel. But here in the book of Jeremiah, remember Jeremiah the weeping prophet, and he is praying about he's prophesying about the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. And he's letting them know just how much that God is displeased with them. Let me tell you this before I forget it. We got our monthly download report from the sermon audio that we put these on. The total number, I don't remember the total number of downloads. I do remember these numbers. 18 different states and 5 different countries besides the United States is where the messages were downloaded this week. So think about through this sermon audio how the messages are getting out around the world. So let's think about that. So anyway, look at Jeremiah. So God is still dealing with the nations of Israel and Judah, and He's continuing His claims against them and telling them how He is displeased. So let's read now Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 to begin with. It says, run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon him. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their city. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wine. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? So God is laying His claims against the nation of this particular, the city of Judah and the nation of Judah, the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. Now I want you to notice what he said in verse number 1. Run to and fro up and down the streets and see if there be any righteous man that executeth judgment. Go up and down through the streets of the city and see if there is just one that is righteous. And if you can find one righteous, I will not bring my judgment. I will pardon them. God is making this through a statement through the lips of Jeremiah to show them their wretchedness. A little bit later on, we'll see that they say that they're following the Lord. They say they know the ways of the Lord, but in all actuality, they do not. You know, it's a sad thing when you think that you're walking faithfully with the Lord, and you've gone so far away from Him and so far away from His plans that you don't are not even aware of it. Folks, let's be careful of that. Because you can look at the ways of the world and you can see what's going on in the world and you can say, surely if that person is a believer and surely if that person's walking with the Lord, then it's not going to matter that what I'm doing. And folks, if we compare ourselves to ourselves, we are a fool. Because we've got to remember, we need to compare ourselves to God and what He says and what His expectations are. And this is what had happened to this city of Jerusalem. There was not a righteous man there. That's why we need to take heed to ourselves. That's why Paul tells the young ministers to take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Lord has made you overseers. There's not a time when you can live without being watchful over your life, because you can be led astray so easily by the things of the world. So we need to make sure that we walk circumspectly and make sure that we are walking with the Lord, because in the city of Jerusalem, there was not a righteous man. See, in verse number 2, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They claim to be following the Lord. They claim to be faithful to the Lord, but their claims are false. It reminds me of many today. They claim that they know Jesus, but by looking at their lives, you can't tell them from the world. They claim that they know Jesus, but when it comes to the time to be dedicated to Him, they're never around. They claim to know Jesus, but there is nothing in their life that proves the evidence of their being a follower of Jesus. This is a place the city of Jerusalem was in, and let's be careful that we don't fall into that same place. To claim, but being led astray and making a false claim. So God looked at them and said, they're saying one thing, but it's not the actuality, it's not the truth. That's why you must know the Scripture, and you must walk closely with the Scripture. And we need to be careful to guard against getting into place to where we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we're walking with the Lord in all actuality, we are not. God sent correction to them in verse number 3. He says, they have been stricken, but not grieved. God has consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. God sent correction and they would not be moved. Think about how sad of a situation that is. That God was sending discipline in their lives and they would not receive that discipline. They would not be moved. Let's be careful that we don't get into that place either, where God is bringing things in our life to bring correction to us, and we will not listen. We will not be moved. We've hardened our hearts and hardened our faces, and we will not allow ourselves to be moved by the things of the Lord. You know, that's another thing, another place where we can get to a place where we're not moved any longer by the things of the Lord. How long has it been since your emotions have been stirred about things of the Lord? Whether you've had great joy in rejoicing as you sung the song of Zion, or you felt great sorrow you've read the Scripture and you see sin identified. When was the last time that your heart was stirred, either for being brokenhearted or being joyful? Folks, we need to understand something. If we are never moved spiritually, when was the last time the Holy Spirit has really moved your heart? And you never, it's been a while since you felt the Holy Spirit moving in your heart. Why is that? It could be that your heart is far from Him. If you are never stirred, if the Holy Spirit never stirs you, it could be because your heart is far away from the Lord. We need to be careful to make sure that our hearts are near the Lord. We're going to read in a few minutes again, just like we've read for the last few weeks, how that your heart, remember your heart is the issue. The heart of the nation of Judah, the nation of Israel, is what God was talking about. And the same thing is true for us. What God desires is our heart. The heart of the nation, of the city of Israel, or Jerusalem, could not be moved. They knew not God's way. They did not understand His judgment, He says in verse number 4. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And so they didn't comprehend what God was doing. They said they know, but they did not know. It's just like in our land today, there are many who are hearers of the word, but very few doers of the word. There are many people who are doctrinally strong. They can tell you all the great doctrines of the scriptures. But when it comes to practical applications of the truth of the word of God, when it comes time to be a doer of the word, you know, pure religion undefiled is to visit the widow and the fatherless in their afflictions. They never do that. When it comes to lift up the feeble knees and the hands that hang down, you never see them lifting up the feeble knees. When you see that do good unto them, when it comes time for them to do good, you know, you don't see them out doing good. You don't see them practically doing the Word of God. That's these. Those that say they know the Word of God, but they don't make a practical application of it in their lives. When it comes time that you need to forgive, and you won't forgive, and we could go on and on and talk about things where you should be being a doer of the Word. That was what was happening here. Their words did not measure up or match up with their lifestyle. We need to be careful about that in our society today. Look how God describes those that were the Chaldeans as they were going to come down against them. He described them in verse 6 as a lion, as a wolf, and as a leopard. God says about them, your transgressions are many, and your backslidings are increased. And he asked the question in verse 7, how can I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me. It's sworn by them that are no gods. They committed adultery. How can I bless you when you are living the way that you do? That's what God is saying to the city of Jerusalem. Let's make sure that we never get to that place. Yet we remember that the New Testament tells us that the things happened to them in the Old Testament for our examples, that we may learn to fear, that we learn not to follow the same path that they did. So God is warning them about, He's saying, how can I bless you? Your life is such a mess. You are so far removed from following me. How can I pardon you and how can I bless you? And let's make sure that we learn that we never get into that place where God says, I couldn't bless you if I wanted to because of the way that you're living your life. Remember that the way that you live your life can cause God to separate from you. Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us that our iniquities have separated between us and God. God says, I bless them to the full. And what do? They coveted someone else's wife. I bless them with a wife. And all they could think about was what someone else had. Think about that in our land today. Isn't that so true? God continues to bless us over and over and over again, and all we can think about is what somebody else has. Why don't I have it as good as they do? We're rich in comparison to most of the nations of this world. We have plenty, it seems. Most of us have plenty. But yet, all we seem to want is what someone else has. God says, I'm blessing you, and all you can worry about is what someone else has. Why not be thankful for what you have, God is saying. That's a sign of where their heart is. When they can't appreciate the blessings of God, and all they can look at what someone else has. God tells them in verse number 9 that His judgment is right when He is judging them because of the sin that they have in their midst, because they have forsaken the Lord. Let's make sure that we never come to the place where God says, I'm going to judge you and my judgment is going to be right. Let's read a few more verses in verses 10 through 19. Go ye up on her walls and destroy. Make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Think about that for just a minute. They have their battlements set up. They have their defenses set up, but their defenses are not the Lord's. For the house of the Lord, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said it is not he. Neither have shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and the people for this, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is a nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what thou say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher, they are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig tree. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with the sword. Notice again, their trust was not in the Lord. Their trust was in their fenced cities. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shall thou answer them, like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. There's some sobering words there in those last few verses. God tells them in verse number 10 that I'm going to take away your defenses. I'm going to destroy your protection, but you will not be utterly destroyed. He tells them in verse number 10, the word belied there means denied. He said, you have denied the work of the Lord. You have said all this stuff that's coming upon you, it's not coming from God. What is that that they say? One of the greatest problems that people have sometimes is denial. When God is working in someone's life and he's trying to get their attention, and sometimes he tries to get your attention through circumstances in your life, because sometimes that's the only thing we listen to, are circumstances. And what God's trying to say is, hey, look, the reason that's going on in your life is because you got sin in your life, and you need to understand that you need to repent of some sin in your life, and maybe I'll take those circumstances away. And the worst place to be is where you look at those circumstances and say, yeah, I know things are tough, but that's not because that God's not doing that to me. Yeah, I know I'm sick, or no, yeah, I know I'm having financial trouble, or yeah, I know I'm having family trouble, but it's not because I'm not right with God. Denial is the most dangerous place to be in. Because God's trying to get your attention, he's trying to get you to wake up, he's trying to get you to see how you have moved away from him, but you deny it. And say, this is not God. This is where Israel and Judah was. Again, be careful, be warned. Never get into that position. Never get into that position. It's going to come. They're saying, God's not judging us. We're not going to see famine or sword. That shall not touch us. God says, okay, my words will be as a fire. The words of the prophets shall vanish away, and my words in verse 14 will come as a devouring fire. Verse 15 tells us about the Chaldeans and how the Chaldeans are going to come down. Verses 16 and 17 are going to tell us about their fierceness. They are going to be destroyed. But notice verse 18. You know, there's always, you know, a silver lining in the cloud, everybody always says. Hear what God says. God says, I'm going to bring judgment upon you. I'm going to bring the fierceness of the Chaldeans down against you, but they will not utterly destroy you. Here's the blessing for us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. God is never going to allow us to be utterly cast down. We can never be plucked out of the Father's hand. It may seem like God is far away sometimes. It may seem like that the circumstances and situations and trials and afflictions of our lives are getting too great for us. I don't know how I can bear it anymore. And God says, yeah, you'll never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck you out of my hand. Let's understand, even though we may face the chastening hand of God, He will never utterly destroy us. God remains faithful to His promises, even though we may not be faithful to Him. And they ask the question, why? Verse 19, wherefore doeth the Lord God all these things unto us? And God says, because you have forsaken me. Again, another word of warning. You may ask yourself, why is all this going on in my life? Why is all these circumstances so difficult? Why is it so hard? The Lord is saying, because you have forsaken me. I'm no longer one number one in your life. No longer is it seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. No longer is it seeking the Lord first. Maybe it's seeking the Lord second. Or maybe it's seeking the Lord third. Or maybe when you have a convenient time, then the things of the Lord are important. God may be saying, these things are happening because you have forsaken me. Never allow yourself to get into that position. Verses 20 through 24, God's plea to Israel. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this. Listen to these words, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people has a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and it seems He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Notice God's plea with them. He says, you are foolish, you have no understanding, you are blind, and you are deaf. Why will you not hear? Again, one of the things that happens to us, or it's very easy to happen to us, is we begin listening to people in the world. And they start asking us questions about why are we so faithful? Or they begin asking us questions about why are you doing it that way? Why don't you change the way? Listen, the way you're doing things, that's too strict and that's too hard. You don't have to be that way. You can still do, you don't have to do that and still be a Christian. You know, why are you so strict and why are you so hard and why are you so dedicated and all those type of things? Listen. You hear all these voices in the world, and before long, they can cause you to become callous to the things of God. They can cause you to keep you from hearing about the things of God. They can keep you from seeing the ways of the Lord. And you can become to be persuaded to follow in the ways of the world. Listen, I know, I just came through a season of that. Listen, we don't have to do things like the world. What the world says and seems to be is popular, and what the world says and seems to be is necessary to have a successful church and all. We don't have to do those things. We just need to follow the ways of the world or the ways of the Word. So let's be careful that we don't allow the world to blind our eyes and close our ears that we cannot see and hear the truth of the Word of God. Let's make sure that we continue to listen. God says about them, you have a rebellious heart. You have a rebellious heart. And you have revolted against me. Notice again, God speaking about the heart. Because the heart is always the root of the problem. I mean, it's like this. You know, you beg and you plead with someone to be faithful to God. Most of the time, you're wasting your time. Because here's the thing. If someone loves the Lord, they're going to be faithful to Him in every way that they can. They're not going to be so easily distracted by the things of the world. You know, even with just church attendance. You know what? If someone loves the Lord and they desire to be faithful to Him, you're not going to have to beg and plead them to come to church. But they're going to want to be where the Lord is. Because they love the Lord. You see what I'm saying? If they love the Lord in their heart, they're going to want to serve the Lord. And their whole problem is that their heart is turned away from God. The things of the world are more important than the things of God. And that's true in every situation. The things of the world are more important than the things of God. And it all has to do with where their heart is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And when you love the things of the world, it's because your heart loves the things of the world. And when someone's not faithful to the Lord, and that's in whether it's church attendance or whether it's in your Bible reading. Hey, listen, we know this, don't we? That if we really love the Word, not going to have to beg us to read the Word, are they? And if we love prayer, if we love the Lord, somebody's not going to have to beg us to pray. We're going to want to talk to the Lord, you see? And we can go in every single thing that you can think of, whether it's giving of your tithes, and whether whatever it is. If you truly love the Lord and your heart is right, you're going to love the things of God. It's just like we can always make time for the things that we love to do, right? There's times we'll say, I just don't have time to do that. But then if we really love to do that, we'll make time, even though it might make us tired. Somebody says, oh, I just get too tired when I do that. You know? But if something that we really wanted to do, we'd go and do it, even if it made us tired. I'll give you a little example of that. Talking to a guy this past week, and he said, you know, one of the things that my girlfriend has with me is sometimes she doesn't think my heart is fully after her. And here's what he said. She asked me one time, she said, hey, you want to go up to Pikeville and go shopping? And he's like, nah, I don't want to go to Pikeville and go shopping. He said, man, I'm just way too tired. Just no sooner than he got those words out of his mouth, his brother called up and said, hey, I'm going to go to Pikeville car show. You want to go? Yeah, let's go. He had it on speakerphone, and his girlfriend went, I thought you were too tired to go to Pikeville. He said, I was too tired to go to Pikeville and go shopping there. But I'm not too tired to go to Pikeville and go to a car show. Where his heart is, right? You have time to do the things where your heart is. Same thing's true with the things of God. If your heart is truly after the things of the Lord, if you really love the Lord, we're not going to have to beg and plead you to do the things of God. You make time to do the things that you want to do. And the things that you don't really want to do, you'll make an excuse. And when it comes to the things of God, whether it's church attendance, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's visitation, or whatever it might be, there's an excuse. And to you, it's a reasonable excuse. But it's exactly what it is. It's just an excuse. Because if you really love the Lord, those things, you're going to do the things that you love to do. And so the issue is where your heart is. It's what God is challenging Judah and Israel with. Is where their heart is. And their heart was after the things of the world. Let's be careful with our hearts. In verse 24, they said, they do not fear the Lord. They do not fear the Lord in their heart. Let's make sure that we're fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you have the proper fear of the Lord, and you know what the fear of the Lord is? Here's what it needs to be. The fear of the Lord is a reverence for God. I have a reverence for him because he is God. But here's another fear of the Lord. You need to be afraid that God's going to bring discipline in your life. You need to. You need to have a fear of the Lord. The saddest place someone can be is they can go and do something that they know is contrary to the Word of God. And they say in their heart, I know it's against the Word of God, but I'm going to do it anyway. As my dad used to tell me, when I did things like that, he'd say, son, you're treading on thin ice. I knew I was in trouble, or just about in trouble, when he said I was treading on thin ice. And if you can do something that you know is contrary to the Word of God, and not be afraid, or if the Lord leads you to do something and says, this is what I want you to do, and you say, I know this is what God desires for me, but I'm not going to do it. Folks, that's a fearful place to be in. A fearful place to be in. That's where Judah and Israel was. Never get in that place. Let's read on. Try to bring this to a close. Verses 25 through the end. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Listen to that. Your sins and your iniquities hinder God's blessings. You think it doesn't matter the way you live your life? You've got another thing coming. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snare, they set a trap, they catch men. As the cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they become great and waxing rich. They are waxing fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper in the right of the needy, they judge not. What's he saying? He's talking about the wickedness of the people of God, how they gain their riches through deceit. They grow fat from the seed, and they overlook the deeds of the wicked because it is profitable for them. They overlook wrongdoing because it is profitable for them. Never do that. And they do not look to the needs of the needy. Here's what God says. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? When we wonder about God's judgment, we shouldn't. Because God judges righteously. You see, look, these people claim to be my people, and they're living in sin, and they're doing wrong. They're calling good evil and evil good. Shall I not avenge my people? Shall I not bring judgment into their life? Absolutely I shall. Let's not think that we are separated from the judgment of God because we live in the days of grace. God does not deal with us like he dealt with the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel because we are living in the days of grace. But let's not think that we're gone to the place where God will not bring judgment into our lives. Verses 30 and 31. A wonderful, horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? The people, the prophets prophesy lies, and the people love it that way. Love it. I love it when the pastor doesn't preach on sin. I love it when the preacher never preaches on anything negative. Oh, preacher, you need to not preach on so much negative. You need to preach on only positive things. People don't want to hear you preach on sin. People don't want to hear you tell them that you need to be dedicated to the Lord. People don't want to hear you that you have to be fully consecrated and fully surrendered to the Lord. So don't be preaching those things. And the preacher gets up and he just tells all nice things and he tells you all sweet things and he tells you how to have your best life now and all those things now. And people love those things. They love They love the positive preaching. It's true, they love it. That doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it right. I got two more scriptures to look at, and these are not in the book of Jeremiah. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. One of the minor prophets. Well, I might be able to find it. Hosea, there we go. Chapter number 4 and verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Let's make sure that that cannot be ever said of us, that we are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Sometimes God has to bring judgment in the midst of his people, but let's always remember that it is to turn them to sin, turn them from sin. When people love their sin and cannot see the hand of God, we need to be careful. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call good evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. We need to be careful. If we cannot see the judgment of God, woe when we begin to call good evil and evil good. The words of God to the nation of Judah and the nations of Israel about what's going on in their life. Let's learn the lessons from God dealing with them so we never get into the place where God has to bring this type of judgment into our lives. Let's stand for a word of prayer.